Not too long ago, during the Super Bowl, there was a campaign called He Gets Us that was promoted during the Super Bowl throughout it several times. And believers have landed on both sides of the fence with that campaign. And so today we're going to talk about this idea of unconditional love and how do we unpack that as we live in this space of tension between speaking the truth and speaking the truth in love. Stay tuned.
Sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. Sponsors, when they sponsor a child, have the opportunity to see firsthand the impact that you're making through letters and updates that you receive from your sponsored child. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you choose to sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get a text back with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or girl to sponsor. When you sponsor, we'll also send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my book, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me and sponsoring a child through Compassion today.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl, and today we are talking about a topic that has really been coming up lately, at least in the conversations I've been a part of. Perhaps it's been part of your conversations as well. And it has to do with this idea of speaking the truth in love. And as the onset of this episode talks about, I think one of the biggest reasons this conversation has come up lately is because of a campaign that ran during the Super Bowl. And so if you're not familiar, if you're not one of the millions of Americans that tuned in, there was a campaign that ran that was called He Gets Us. And it essentially showed believers washing the feet of people that were very different from them. And at the end of it, it talks about how Jesus didn't teach hate, he washed feet. And believers in the conversations I've been having or seen online have landed on both sides of that. On one hand, people are taking a stark stance against that, saying that the kinds of differences in the people that were having their feet washed versus the people that were doing the washing was too stark of a difference, and it was like an endorsement of sin. And then the other side of that leans into this idea that Jesus loves people as they are and really kind of understands where people are coming from. And I think this is a tension that we will always have this side of heaven. You know, I have spent years as an outreach pastor working in outreach ministries. And one of the things that is very common in outreach ministry is you meet people that are a little bit rough around the edges. They're not believers yet, or sometimes they are believers, but they have fallen into maybe some sort of alternative lifestyle that is less than the goal or the ideal for what a typical Christian would be living. And so I've walked with this tension for a very long time. I think my encouragement with that is that we need to go back to this idea of who Jesus was and the reason why he was so attractive. If we think through the reasons why Jesus was attractive to you and me, I don't know about you, but for me specifically, I was attracted to Jesus because of the way he loved me. He loved me differently than the world loved me. He loved me differently than the way people loved me. And at that time, I was a mess. I was was stuck in my sin. And I didn't have maybe blatant overcome sin that you would look at me and just say, yeah, that girl is a mess. She's in sin. But we all start there, right? We're all born with this sinful nature. And so at the point that we meet Jesus, we are broken. Whether we realize it or not, we are in sin, whether we realize it or not. And part of the reason that we are attracted to this relationship with Jesus is because of the way he loves us. Now we see that example in scripture over and over again, where we see Jesus approaching people that are a mess. And one of the former pastors I used to work with, he said, you know, it's a lot like fishing. You have to catch the fish before you can clean the fish. And I think about that in terms of ministry, because especially when you're doing outreach ministry where people are really broken, you have to develop a relationship with them and you have to love them the way that Christ loves them before you can minister to them, before they get saved or before they start being discipled and start seeing some of that inner work and some of that process of change. And yet as believers, there's this tension because we don't want to be seen as endorsing sin. One of the things that I think is really important to remember is that first of all, we are not Jesus. It is not our job to change anyone. Now, can we be examples? Of course. Can we share the gospel? Of course. Can we talk about the way that a biblical worldview would be the lens through which we live our lives? Of course. But ultimately, it is not our job to change anyone. That's the job of Jesus. And so when we start having that posture, it makes it a little bit easier to be in relationship with people that are different from us. Our job as believers is to know Jesus and to make him known. The primary way that we do that is through relationship. It is through maybe not necessarily speaking scripture in terms of chapter and verse. Perhaps it's helping them understand the concepts that are explained in scripture. And I say that because I think of where I was at when I first came to Christ. If you came at me with, oh, you know, your lifestyle is this and that, and you need to clean your life up, I would not have followed Jesus or have not even listened to that person. But instead, someone came alongside me and said, you know what? I love you. And I want to share that God loves you too. And God's love is the thing that draws us. It's also the thing that changes us. I want to point to scripture to kind of show what I'm talking about here. I'm reading from John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And if you've done my Bible study, some of this might be familiar to you, but for many of you, it'll be new. This is the scene where a woman was caught in adultery. I'm reading from the NLT today, starting at verse 1. It says, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Now there's two parts that I want to hone in here too, and it really has to do with the words of Jesus. So Jesus addresses this woman as woman. And sometimes when you hear this taught, it will be in a derogatory way. But actually, that word woman is the same word that he uses in the scriptures to refer to his mother, woman. And if you notice, he doesn't call her the woman caught in adultery. When he looks at us, he doesn't call me Rachel, the woman caught in gossip, or Rachel, the woman caught in, I don't know, insert sin here. You know, we all have those patterns of sin are in our lives. Jesus doesn't identify us with our sin. Our identity is in him. And so when he looks at us, he looks at us with a term of endearment. But when he talks to her, he does tell her, go and sin no more. And so everybody else that condemned her brought her sin to his attention. But yet when he turns around and he, you know, scholars believe that he was writing a list of sins in the dirt. When he turned around, there was nobody left to condemn her. And he is the only one really that he had the authority and the power to condemn her. And he doesn't. Instead, he says, go and sin no more. But initially, the reason why he's speaking to her is because of his love for her. And so this interaction with him, this interaction that she has, is the very thing that helps her change. That as she goes and she sins no more, that interaction with Jesus is the catalyst for change. And it's the same for us. The motivation for me to let go of sin, or even sometimes it's a process and I don't even realize it's happening. But when I look back over the pattern of my life and I think about the trajectory of certain lifestyle sins in my life, it's not like one day I just decided that those sins were gone. No, it was a process of becoming more like Christ as I got to know him, as I was in relationship with him. And the same is true for everybody. Sanctification, or that process of becoming more like Jesus, is a process. And, you know, occasionally you will hear about people that just gave up a certain sin and, you know, like that, I snap my fingers and it's gone. But more often than not, it's a process that happens as a result of being loved by Jesus and being loved well. Hey friends, with summer coming up before we know it, I wanted to share with you about one of our partners, Kids Across America Camps. For over 30 years, their mission has remained the same, to build Christian leaders by encouraging, equipping, and empowering urban youth and their mentors through camp and education. In both my own life and in the life of my daughters, camp has been a life-changing, future-altering experience. For many kids, this is not only the highlight of the summer, but their lives. Children and teens dedicate their lives to Christ. Young believers put down deep roots in the faith. The food, the games, the sports, the friends, it's so much fun. With Kids Across America Camps, many of the kids and teens they serve come from under-resourced communities. Finances are often the only thing standing between them and camp, between them and an extraordinary first meeting with Jesus. What happens if they don't get to come? Well, more of the same. Many of these kids will spend all summer in environments that will keep them from being exposed to the love of Jesus and potentially exposing them to more violence, more crime, more alcohol and drugs. But if you send them to camp, everything can change. You can give towards camper scholarships that can truly make an eternal impact in the life of one of these students. Every gift counts. Even small gifts can be paired together to help sponsor a child to go to camp. But please don't wait. Only a few weeks remain before camp starts, and we want every deserving child and teen to be able to attend. Go online to give KAACamps, that's camps with a K, .org/hearingjesus. That's KAACamps.org/hearingjesus. So if we come back to this idea of the foot washing, let's pause for a minute to think about foot washing and what that was. And we've talked about this on the show before, so perhaps you're familiar, but in that culture, they wore sandals. And I'm talking about the original context of foot washing in the time of Jesus, in the early New Testament times. They walked around in sandals. There was not indoor plumbing. They got around town by donkeys or mules. There was human excrement and animal excrement on the ground. There was dirt and dust everywhere because oftentimes those roads were not paved. And so when you entered a home, your feet were covered with filth. And the lowest position in the house, which was the servant, or sometimes maybe like the youngest child or the youngest daughter, would be tasked with washing the feet of visitors that are coming into the home. Now, sometimes they would do it themselves. Sometimes it was just part of their culture. If there's nobody else to do it, then you would do it yourself. But that idea of foot washing was this idea of being a servant, the lowest of the servants in the household. And so the posture of Jesus as he is washing feet, and the call for us to wash feet, is this call to serve out of an act of love. Now, when you serve somebody, when you humble yourself and you act in obedience to serve someone, that does not necessarily mean you are endorsing their sin. It means you're serving them. It means that you are acting in love for them. There are lots of things that I do as an outreach pastor to serve the people that I'm called to serve that is not an endorsement of their sin. If I am taking food food from the food pantry down to a community of children that I know that has no food. That is not an endorsement of the addiction that their parents have that left them without food in the house. It is meeting the need. Now, there's other things that I need to do. I need to attack the systems, and we need to work with the local, you know, resources that are available for accountability and maybe child protective services and all those kinds of things. But no, there's still a need. There's still children that are hungry, that are not being fed, that I have a call to feed. It's not an endorsement of the sin. There's almost two tracks of what's going on. There is the compassion track and there's the justice track. Now, what we see in this foot washing commercial, and I think the reason why people got so upset, is that if we kind of dumb down or we dull out the justice portion of God and God's wrath and God's heart for humanity to walk in obedience and covenant with him, then there is a danger of just saying, you know what, God just is for everybody and everybody can do what they want. That is not what is the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is you have to catch them before you can clean them. You have to disciple them. You know, we're not called to make converts. We're called to make disciples. And I think sometimes we forget that portion of the Great Commission, where we can go and we can tell people about Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. We have to be Jesus to them. We have to walk alongside of them. We have to help them understand who they are in Christ, because it's only when they understand that true identity that they're going to be able to let go of that false identity that the enemy has assigned to them. And so I would challenge you that when this commercial comes on TV, to think through what this means in your own life. Who were you when Jesus found you? And I can almost guarantee that if you're listening to this podcast, you are no longer that person anymore. And how did you get that growth? How did you get that spiritual growth? More than likely, somebody discipled you, whether it was a pastor, or maybe it's this podcast, or maybe it's somebody in your life. There's this discipleship process that helps us let go of the things of the world and latch onto the things of God. That's this place, this heart that we want to serve people with, not this judgment and not this anger, but instead, within the unity of the body of Christ, we can look at a commercial like that and allow it to challenge us to live in a way that serves everybody, not just the people that behave, not just the people that look the way we want them to look, or talk the way that we want them to talk, or act the way we want them to act. Because that's not the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is he goes into the mess and the brokenness, and he is the light, and he takes the light into the darkness. He calls us to do the same thing. Let's pray. God, I thank you for some of these real world examples and these conversations that have been happening within the body of Christ that help us to take pause and to pay attention to what's going in our own heart. Lord, I pray for those that are walking in that tension in that space right now. Lord, I recognize it. I feel it myself. But yet, Lord, help us not to walk in this place of judgment, but instead a place of service, because we know that you are the judge and you are the one that changes hearts and minds and opinions and lives. God, we lay the people in our lives, or even the people we haven't met yet, the people you've called us to serve, we lay those at your feet. Lord, help us to recognize that it is not our job to change them. That's your job. It's our job to love them and to draw them to you. Lord, help us to walk in a place of love, but also speak truth, and help us to have wisdom in that tension. Lord God, I thank you that you don't leave us alone, that your Holy Spirit is there to empower us and to give us the words and the actions to love people well. Lord, I pray for my friends today that as they lean into perhaps whatever you're calling them to do today, that they would hear your voice clearly. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hey friends, before you go, real quick, I want to let you know that we have extra resources at shehears.org to help you grow in your faith. Whether you're looking for a new Bible or Bible tabs or additional Bible studies, I've curated a selection of some of my favorite things that I think you're really going to love. So with Easter coming up, I want to offer you 10% on the store. If you go to shehears.org and go to our shop on the resources page, you can enter the code HearingJesus for 10% off between now and Easter. Happy shopping! Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page, where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.